You have heard the story about a fictional story of the fourth family, and they live next to a wealthy household, and they can hear loud music and shouts of New Year's celebration from the other side of the wall, and the poor family had nothing to eat during New Year's celebration. So they prayed, "Lord God, give us food, just food to eat this New Year's celebration. They have nothing on their table." Meanwhile, the loud celebration of the wealthy neighbor had turned sour, and they threw food at each other. They're throwing food at each other. I don't know if they are having fun or just trying to enjoy themselves, but one person took the whole piece of baked turkey and threw it at another person. But it was so strong that the turkey dropped onto the table of the family, poor family on the other side of the wall. The surprised poor family thanked the Lord. "We thank you for this turkey. We thank you for this blessing." As they were thanking the Lord for the blessing that dropped on their table, more food kept dropping before them. That was just a fictional story. I don't know if it's true, but speaking of New Year, what do you expect personally? Do you hope for experiences better than last year? Do you expect more blessing this year? Well, the Lord wants you also to receive much blessing. Do you believe that? The Lord wants you also to receive much blessing. You want to say amen to that? Can you believe that you can receive blessing proportionate to your faith? The blessing you receive is proportionate to your faith in the Lord. You heard it before, and you will hear it again. The commands of the Lord, the commands of God, these are His means to distribute blessings without partiality. Why is it? Blessing don't depend on our status as Christians. May it be a preacher, may it be ordinary Christian, may it be church leader. Everyone has fair share of receiving blessing from the Lord. So if we want His blessing, we must obey the Lord. Moses clearly declared it to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2 to 3. Let's read this. "All blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will bless in the city, you will be blessed in the country." Now, that word "if" is conditioned on the blessing that you may receive. When it says "in the blessing in the city" or "bless in the country," it means wherever you are, the Lord would bless you. If you obey the Lord, can you strongly accept that? Can you strongly accept that blessing are included in the instruction of the Lord? The Lord in the Old Testament who blessed the obedient Israelites is the same Lord who was born human, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. See that He declared it in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." That is a paraphrase of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2 to 3. Because it was the Lord who, Christ the Lord Himself, told Moses, and He knew exactly the word that He was saying. Well, many individuals are confused. They say when they obey the Lord, well, they are deprived of materialism, material abundance. I don't know about that, but material abundance, this is commonly considered as blessing to them, probably. And yet many people with material abundance still feel miserable in their life. No satisfaction, no contentment. They have everything. They threw away foods. Did you experience that? I was really, I don't know, shocked or something like that when we were in a mission in Asia as a family. And the students have the party. They bought cake and they were throwing cake at each other. They are trying to use that icing of the cake, messing with each other. Wow. Why do you buy that and use that for just for fun? Well, maybe the cakes in that place was not very delicious anyway. So maybe it was made for that reason. But it's waste of food. When you waste that food just for that, I don't know if that is considered fun. It means material abundance is not the entirety of blessing. If you enjoy your wealth, if you enjoy what you have, that is called blessing from God. Personally, how do you interpret it when it declares in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19? Remember this. This is very, very important message from a wise teacher. When God gives someone wealth and possession and ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. This is a gift of God. You enjoy your toil. You enjoy your work. That is a gift of God. Are you still complaining in your work? Are you still complaining in whatever given you responsibility and task? Well, that's not a blessing. Ask the Lord that He may give you in your heart the enjoyment of what you do. That is life. Life on earth is very short. You will know that when you grow older, when you reach the age of retirement, you will sense that time is moving so fast. I don't know, but I sense that already. Seems like only yesterday, thinking about or remembering those funny times, difficult times, but it's just like yesterday. So it's best to seek the Lord's favor when He gives you wealth and other possession, and that you enjoy it. Whatever that may be, as long as you enjoy, that's blessing from the Lord. But how do we get favor from God? How? We ask the Lord to fill us with the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. The spirit of wisdom help us understand what the Lord reveals to us. The spirit of revelation, He reveals to us. The spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation is the same Holy Spirit. He knows the ways of God. He reveals the will of God. It was written in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Let's read this together meditatively. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. What do we pray for? What do we normally praying for? Most often we pray for easy life, right? Most often we pray for convenience. Sometimes when we pray, we have prayer items, we have prayer requests that we don't know. Or we don't want others to know what we are praying for. It's our secret prayer. But if God deems it essential to our testimony, If that prayer item is essential for us to tell the world about His grace and love, our testimony as believers of Christ, He would grant it. May it be open prayer items or secretive prayer item. To know what we ought to pray for, we need the Holy Spirit to inspire us. Do you know what you pray for? What should I pray? Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to pray. Reveal to me the thing you want me to pray for. Pray about that, and He will tell you what you would pray for and what the Lord would answer. If you are very sure that God grants your prayer, if He would, the Holy Spirit would tell you, this is what you pray for, and the Lord and God would grant you, you will be eager to pray for sure. You would pray for that. You would ask the Lord, Lord, is this the thing you want me to pray for? May it be a job, may it be a career, may it be someone you want to be your partner in life, or may it be a dream that you want to be. Many young ladies back in the Philippines, they would go somewhere in Psalm and says, delight in the Lord and He will give you the desire of your heart. They love that verse. Truly, when the Lord is delighted in you, He would fill you. This is how the Lord gives you the desire of your heart. You delight the Lord. Lord, let my heart be emptied. There's nothing in my heart. Fill my heart with that desire, the desire that comes from you. It is not the desire, human desire, that the Lord would give. It's not the selfish desire that you have that the Lord would give. And they were mistaken. They were praying, Lord, I want to delight. They serve in the ministry. And yet the Lord does not allow them to have that desire in their heart because their desire is selfishness. Their desire that comes from the human origin is sinful in nature. The Lord would not grant it. This is why when it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will grant you the desire of your heart, let your heart be emptied from any, clear from any selfishness, clear from any sin, so that it's like kind of that box or container, basket in there, nothing in it yet. And the Lord would put something in it, the delight, the desire. That desire that comes from Him, godly desire, He will put it in your heart. That is what it means. And if you know that the Lord grants your prayer, you would be eager to pray. Let's read again verse 1 and verse 2. Of our passage, to the elders among you, I appeal as fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gains, but eager to serve. Well, Apostle Peter addressed a possible problem about the leadership in the church, specifically the elders, and he appealed as fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering. Why did he add that? Why not just say, I appeal to you as fellow elder, and that's it? Why did he say, and a witness of Christ's suffering? Can you go back to verse 1, please? Verse 1. There. It says, to the elders among you. That should be enough. I appeal to you as fellow elder. And yet he added, and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Now, did Peter imply about possible suffering of elders? Well, shepherds of God, shepherd of God's flock, that is the responsibility of elders, church elders, watching over the welfare of the congregation, it requires extra hour of prayer, of service, and eagerness to serve. This is vital attitude for elders. It's not reluctant, not under compulsion. They are eager to serve. The term eager, this includes cheerfulness. They are cheerful. They are ready. Eager is ready, and also cheerful, which may suggest the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit gives joy, that enthusiasm to serve. The term enthusiasm, you know that. It comes from the Greek word entheos, which means possessed or controlled by God. If you have enthusiasm, you are eagerly cheerful to serve. And there's no reluctance. No, it's not conditional. That enthusiastic attitude is the kind of service that could expect a share in the glory to be revealed. Normally, if glorious reward on any task is guaranteed, there's eagerness, enthusiasm to serve the Lord. You can observe that in among children. Tell your children, I will give you this if you do this. And they will be excited and they want to finish the task because they just want to receive what you have promised. And by faith, we serve the Lord. We believe that He rewards us when we get involved, participate in the ministry. May it be in a church setting or ministry that the Lord had given you outside church setting. And when we obey the Lord sincerely, we have this honest and eagerness in us. Those attitude, it testifies to the grace of God and His love. It's the Lord who is working in our lives. When we have the sincerity, honesty, and eagerness to serve the Lord. When Apostle Peter mentioned himself, when he mentioned as a witness of Christ, he did not say an elder of Christ, instead witness of Christ's suffering. When he mentioned that, he indirectly included his appeal not only to elders but to all witness, to all believers. So to say, when we witness, we testify for Christ. Just as Apostle Peter was a witness, he testified about what he saw, the suffering of Christ. And we also share in his glory, in the glory of Christ Jesus. When we use our spiritual gift, we serve the Lord with sincerity, with honesty, and with eagerness. This is why it is very essential, it is very imperative and significant for us to know our spiritual gift. If you are in the wrong ministry, you would not sense that eagerness to serve. For example, let's read. You and I are gifted. Let's read what it teaches in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us, to each of us. If your gift is prophesying in accordance with your spirit, with your faith, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So not everyone has all the gift of the Spirit. Gift of the Spirit is distributed accordingly for us to move as one body of Christ in harmony with its other. Just as there are different parts of our body, each part of the body has different function. Each believer has different function. In the church, God has given us different gifts for us to function as one body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. So if you have a gift of prophesying, that is preaching the word of God, you preach accordance to your faith, in accordance with the truth in the Bible. If it is service, not everyone has that desire to serve. But there are people who are happy that they are involved, not saying anything, but they just serve, enjoying it. They have that, they sense that enthusiasm. If it is teaching, you teach. This is why not everyone is a teacher, but you can still teach. When it says teaching, the gift of teaching in the here, maybe it's more about more students that you are teaching, but not necessarily saying you cannot teach. You can teach. You can teach a child, one person, you can teach two, three, but maybe you are scared when you are teaching a bigger group. If it is to encourage, give encouragement. Just a little, hey, I'm glad you're here. It's nice seeing you again. And not many people would easily, readily say that to you. Somebody will come and just tap your shoulder, and maybe for the Filipinos, just raise your chin. That's it. Nothing, no words, just saying, It means that person is happy that he sees you. Doesn't need to say something. And just a smile. But some people are really good in words, in saying that, hey, how are you? I'm glad you're here. I heard you've been in this, in that. I would like to pray for that. What is it that you want me to pray for? Something like that. There are those who are gifted in that. And do not expect that to every Christian. And people come, they would complain, they write article, oh, I've been in that church and nobody even greeted me. Maybe one or two had greeted me something and did this and do that. That's because those two, three people have greeted you. They have that word of encouragement, and not everyone is given that. So if you read those kind of articles, don't feel so bad. That person may not know what he is telling. He doesn't know. If it is giving, this is something you may want. You are praying about having more money. The Lord gives you more money as you give more, because He wants you to be generous. You don't want that money to just go and pile up and say to your friend, hey, I have a lot of money, and you are not sharing it. That's not the gift. If it is to lead, if your gift is to lead, do it diligently. You may lead one, two, three, or you may lead a congregation, you may lead a little group or bigger group, I don't know. If it shows mercy, do it cheerfully. Well, how do you know your spiritual gift? Well, if you go online, you can just type how to know spiritual gift, and they will tell you how. But I don't know if that's very accurate, but it may be helpful, but not very accurate. Sometimes if you know a Bible character, you like a Bible character that you can relate with, it may help you identify your gift. Like, for example, you like Apostle Paul because he would see yourself like planting churches in different locations. You know, Apostle Paul did not stay in one church for more than 3 years. He just, after 3 years, that's maybe the longest he stays in one church, and he transferred to another city and start a church again and assign elders there and go to another. He was a missionary. He was a church planter. He did not serve as a pastor of the church. Maybe Apollos and Timothy, Titus, those were pastors of churches. But Apostle Paul was a missionary. So if you like the life of Apostle Paul, you may have been called as a missionary. Like, if, for example, if you like the leadership of King David, read through the book of Samuel and the Chronicles and the book of Kings, Psalms. You read through it, and you really are impressed by the life of King David. King David was not perfect. He has a lot of mistakes too, but he was a good king, great king. So pray for wisdom if you like that. God may have called you to lead, to be a leader. Now, if you are to choose a biblical, one particular biblical character that you like the most, who would that be? Who would that be? Whenever we have in this Bible study and ask people, ask members in the Bible study, what's particular biblical character that you like the most, they would say, try this. Put it in your social media, in your Facebook. Ask that. What one particular biblical character that you like the most? And just ask that question, and they would. Many of those would say, Jesus Christ. Of course, he should be. If Jesus Christ is your model for godly lifestyle, be prepared, because the Lord did not own a house. The Lord did not own wealth on earth. That is very tough model. Obey him even if it means giving up materialism. If you sincerely say that your model is Jesus Christ, although we want to be like Jesus Christ, that is a goal for every Christian, but that is not very possible that we can be like him in this world. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 8, let's read this together. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mortal do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was trying to search in the Bible if Apostle Paul or the Bible say imitate Jesus Christ. But most often Apostle Paul even say imitate your leaders. Although our goal is to be like Christ, it's really not very, very ideal to imitate Christ. And many, somewhere in Asia, they imitate Christ, even let their body be crucified on the cross, but that is just for show. So if it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Look at our leaders. Any church leader, not necessarily from the Maples Evangelical Church, any leader who speak the word of God, considered how they live, how they, until they die, imitate their faith. Regularly pray for our church leaders. That is my appeal, so that everyone may find them worthy to imitate in their dedication, in their devotion, in their diligence, in their eagerness to serve. Our church leaders are prone to attack from the enemy. But by the grace of God, We pray that they become great examples to everyone who attend this church, our church leaders. Let's read again verse 3 of our passage. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Now, church leaders who serve the Lord with eagerness and cheerfulness, they are great examples of how the grace of God is at work in the believer's life. When the grace of God is at work in our life, we have that eagerness to serve. Possibly in the first century Christianity, church leaders were chosen based on their social status. Perhaps they chose leaders who were prominent figures in the society. Apostle Peter appeared to elders, not to lord over those entrusted to them. Maybe in the first century, some of them, if not most of them, most of the elders, first century elders, probably were wealthy people, and they have servants. They are lords. They were business owners. They have employees, or maybe they were managers. So they manage their subordinates under them. Even in our generation, prominent personalities are elected to leadership normally. And it's common to be elected as leader. But for church leaders, to be example to the flock is biblical. So be prayerful when electing leaders, may it be in a church or leaders in our government. May God bless church leaders to exemplify godly character and not cause confusion in the congregation. Someone suggested, if you made someone angry, you control them. You control their emotion. You make them angry. And you become their master. So when someone is angry with you, you can smile. Well, I am your master. I made you angry. Some people, somehow, they are following you. You have followers. You have social media. You have social media. You have followers. Whenever you update your social media, your followers, your subscriber would respond. They would say, thumbs up, or maybe anything, emoticon that they make. You are controlling their emotion. Even those who are forced to, I would give thumbs up to this so that person would give thumbs up to my post also. At least you are controlling them, right? If you have followers and subscribers in social media accounts, you become their master and you lord over them somehow. But not entirely, but at least partially. As Christian, it is imperative for us to be watchful of our activity, even in social media. There are things that we may do that should be kept privately and also be exemplary publicly. Have you ever wondered if Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, and the brothers of Jesus Christ got married? Did it come to your mind? Have you ever thought that if Apostle Paul had children? Why was it that the Bible did not specifically mention about their marriage or their family affairs? Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter. Personally, how do you interpret it when Apostle Paul had rhetorically explained about his right as apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 3 to 4. Let's read. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right? Verse 5. Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Do you interpret that as if Apostle Paul was saying the brothers of Jesus Christ, Apostle Peter and me, and I, each of us have wife feed us. We also need food. We need to feed them. We also need drink. Like everyone else. It's like indirectly, Paul was saying, I am married. The Lord's brother were married. And Cephas is married. We also eat. We also drink. Apostle Paul did not specify everything except for the right to food and drink and to tag along with them believing wife. Exclusive private matters should not be publicly exposed, not obviously told. Apostle Paul exemplified a reserved behavior on matters that are not essential to our testimony. Take note of that. If it is essential to your testimony, well, let the public know about it. But if it is not essential to testimony, don't post. I read some say they are Christian. First, they are posting many sayings from preachers or biblical passages that it may have moved their heart. But at one time, they also post like they are complaining about their children. They are complaining about their husband. They are complaining about their wives. They complain about how wives are not very recognized, how husbands are whatever their complaint. And it confuses readers. Why? At one time you are putting inspirational passages. And yet those inspirational passages or articles were not able to inspire you to be hopeful or something, or proactive. Maybe they just want to post something in there for the sake of more subscriber. I don't know. I don't know their plan. We have to be careful of our testimony as Christians. That is, if we hope for eternal rewards. Because everything we do, it may gather us, it may collect for us eternal rewards. Let's read again verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Well, Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He is coming again soon. Every leader is rewarded with the crown of glory. Wait, listen. Don't argue. I'm not a leader, Pastor. Don't say, I'm not a church elder, Pastor. Well, Pastor Peter may have specified his appeal to elders. He specified that. But did you know that all disciples are called to lead others to the Lord? If you are a disciple of Christ, you are called to lead. The chief shepherd had instructed in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. If you want to sense the presence of the chief shepherd in your life, he promised it. He promised to those who go and make disciples. So ask the Lord, Lord, help me disciple someone. Help me. Pray. Be prayerful for that. This great commission of the Lord is where we derive our church slogan. Do you know what our church slogan is? What is our slogan as members of the Meeples Evangelical Church? Did you know? A member has a disciple. Can you repeat that? A member has a disciple. One more time. A member has a disciple. One more time. A member has a disciple. One more time. A member has a disciple. I hope that would ring repeatedly in your mind. This is not a requirement for being a member. It's not. It's not in the constitution and bylaws. But if you are registered as member of this church, our goal is to disciple someone else. Why is that? Because I and the leaders and everyone else know that we want to be rewarded. Being a member in this church, when you come as a member of a church, when you register as a member of this church, it's not only about participation in the ministry, but eternally you are looking forward to your reward, and that is what we desire for every member of this church. If you disciple someone, you lead someone to Christ, that makes you a leader. Even if it is only one, you lead one, lead two, three, four, five, six, and more. You are a leader. And as concerned leader, you watch over those you lead and become example to them. This is how you live a lifestyle. If you are an example to those you disciple and lead to the Lord, then won't you be qualified to receive the eternal crown of glory? It did not mention that the eternal crown of glory that never fades away is exclusively given to elders only. It did not say that. This is only for exclusively for elders. It's not. Is it proper to interpret that the eternal crown of glory is rewarded to disciples who shepherd others and be exemplary to them? There's this online video of a person. He started a goat farm, or is it goat herding? He started with few heads of goats. He attended seminars. This is how they take care of goats. He did it by himself, everything about goat farming, even giving them food, giving medicine, whatever the goat need to grow and increase. And indeed, his flock increased. As his flock increased, he hired helpers. He said that he only visit the farm once in a while, maybe twice a week. He leave everything to his helper because he taught them what to do. He demonstrated to them how he takes care of goat. And indeed, his goat farm progressed and increased. Now, as our behavior as Christian is the best example to demonstrate to disciples how we behave. Even how you dress, how you say words, even maybe your social media, that is your example. You're discipling somebody. This is how I post something in the social media, something like that, or even your comments. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let's read this together. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, specifically those whose work is preaching and teaching. This is a very inspirational passage to me personally. When you preach, when you teach, you are honored double, you are given double honor. I don't know exactly, but it seems like it. But this passage does not specify that double honor is only exclusive for elders. It did not say it is exclusive for elders. So preach and teach, it did not. Elected to office of elders or not, but you lead others to believe in Christ and disciple them and teach them and be examples to them. The Lord will decide if you are worthy of double honor. And when Christ returns, may each of us, all of us, may all of us receive an eternal crown of glory. Amen. You don't like that crown of glory?